from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recognizing that also John Lee Hooker's version is, I mean, who I'm assuming wrote it, is incredible.
Yeah, I'm sure Big Ed Todd plays it well, but I'm going to go with the John Lee Hooker on this one.
Fair enough. All right. Right off the bat, I know this is a Grizzly segment, but you have a long history in this city with food and music and other things, not Grizzlies. So this is going to be a slightly long-winded question, but hear me out. All right, so I know you live in Minnesota now, so it may not be fresh in your brain, but I'll admit, I live in the suburbs. I'm outside the loop. I also have two kids with very busy after-school sports schedules. So when I get to actually eat Memphis restaurants doesn't happen often. However, I've had a few moments, like in the last month or so, to where my wife has been out of town with my daughter for dance stuff, and my son has been with his grandparents. And I've been like, oh, my gosh, I can go eat anywhere I want right now. And as Jeffrey and I talked about earlier in the first segment, I have choice paralysis. And I was like, if I could just call Chris Harrington right now and be like, listen, I need three options of where I should go eat, and I never get to eat anywhere that's like all these hot, hip spots, where would that? I need you to have a running list of places I need to eat. But right now, if I just said, Chris, I need three places to go for lunch right now or dinner, where should I go? Low budge, high budge, doesn't matter.
I don't know if they're open for lunch. They may not be. I know they're open for dinner. But I really like Good Fortune, which is the ramen shop down on South Main.
Good Fortune Ramen. Okay.
Yeah.
Write that down.
Everything they do is really good. They actually make, I think they're the only ramen shop in town that makes their own noodles from scratch.
Oh, yeah.
And really inventive. That's a place I like a lot. For a quick lunch, there's this little shop on Summer that I wrote about a year ago. And as far as I know, they were open a few months ago. I assume they're still going strong. But there's this little Colombian chicken place called El Pollo Latino, and they do like rotisserie chicken lunches.
Can confirm. Drove past it the other.
What's
still
it? Open. El Pollo Latino.
El Pollo Latino, and they do like It's a Colombian restaurant, so they do. They do other things, but their main things are to do rotisserie chicken, which is very tender and has its own sort of spice component to it. Like, you know, with French fries or whatever, that's a good, quick, affordable, really, really tasty lunch. My son and I would hit that place up a lot before we moved.
Love that. That's fantastic.
I sort of get stuck on Summer a lot, but I just love the Mexican restaurants on Summer. And so for lunch, I like get tacos at Los Picosos, which is in that lot that's sort of on the other side of where Bryant's Breakfast is, sort of over there.
Yep.
So there's some ideas.
The Summer Avenue, like I grew up hitting the Summer Avenue stuff with my family, but I live in Germantown now, and so I never go to, unless like I specifically am going to Summer Avenue for something.
Let me give you a spot that may be closer to you.
All right.
It's not Germantown, but it's sort of, I guess maybe it's more Hickory Hill, but it's like Winchester and Riverdale.
Yeah.
Mandy Deeby, which is a West African barbecue restaurant.
Whoa.
That is really good. That's really good. It's this guy who he has another restaurant in Whitehaven called Bala's Bistro.
Right.
That's just like a West African restaurant. But then he opened a second place that's a barbecue place, but it's a West African style barbecue.
That Whoa! All really right. Good. That's right. That's close enough. I have no excuse not to get to that. When I go to Summer, like I have to plan to go, like that's 20 minutes away from me, but I can hit up the Winchester Riverdale area. I get my car washed right around there a lot, so I can hit that up.
You're going to hit 385 going home.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I pass by it all the time.
There you go.
That's fantastic. That's my
number one recommendation to you. Mandy Deeby.
I love it. Like there were moments that I almost like went on Daily Memphian's website and was like, I wonder if I just search Chris Harrington in food, if something will populate. I need a running list of all the Chris's recommendations of restaurants of like where I should be going, which I know is selfish and probably nobody else needs that. But I hear y'all talk about it all the time. I'm like, never been there, never been there, never been there, never been there, and then I forget them all. So I'm glad I wrote this down and had you to ask about that. Perfect.
Yeah, I'm here for you, man.
All right. So, I was telling Jeffrey that I missed yesterday's show and I didn't hear the podcast, which I normally listen to for whatever reason. I didn't get it.
Apparently,
so
we're having podcast.
I don't know if y'all talked about this yesterday, but the major story going around was the Ja Morant Zach Edey video of them working out together and setting some massive screens and lobs to Zach Edey, which it looked like he didn't even have to jump to catch. What are your thoughts? Should I be freaking out about this? Is it not normal for players to be working out together in the summertime?
I guess I have a somewhat divergent opinion about this. I mean, they're an open gym, like dunking on little dudes with like, you know, sticks or whatever. And so like, it's not like real NBA players trying to stop them. On the other hand, it's Ja Morant, who we know is great at this.
Yep.
And it's Zach Edey, who's like 7'5", 300 pounds and like has good touch. And so like, there's no reason not to think this won't be awesome.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think it's going to be awesome. I think Zach Edey setting screens for Ja Morant and then either being a target for his passes or just rolling to the rim to clean stuff up on the glass. I mean, we've been down this road before. We know it works. It worked with Jonas Valanciunas. It worked with Steven Adams. And it's going to work with Zach Edey. And I love that they're in the gym together, like building some chemistry with it already.
Yeah, it was just exciting to see Ja and doing grit stuff. working with a teammate, and there's so much anticipation for this season of like hopefully having everybody healthy that it was just exciting to see that video happening. I was like, oh, all right. I dig that.
We've gotten, you know, nine games of Ja Morant in the last year plus, yes. And so we're starving for it. We're thirsty out here for some Ja Morant basketball.
That's a good point. Let me ask you this: has your since the draft? Because I don't know that anybody thought Zach Edey was going to be necessarily terrible, but he did move up pretty late in the mock drafts. I feel like he moved up pretty quickly. It seemed like to where he was going to be mid to low teens, and then started bumping up of where people thought he'd get drafted. And since the draft has happened, has your opinion changed on your either skepticism or optimism about how good he will be as a pro?
One sort of related note about that sort of touches on one of the things you said I want to throw out there, because it doesn't seem like it got picked up or aggregated the way this stuff usually does. But there's a pretty well-connected like podcast host that covers the Utah Jazz, who said, like, the week after the draft that he had heard the Jazz were going to take Edey at 10.
Wow.
And so, you know,
I had not heard that.
Edey was already, like, in the top 15 of a lot of the mocks. And Jonathan Givony, who's, like, the main draft guy at ESPN, had, and I wrote about this, but days before the draft, he basically said, like, Zach Edey could be the backup plan in Memphis at 9, you know, if they couldn't trade up.
Right.
And so this idea that it was a reach, I just think is nonsense. I was sort of dismissive of that. I mean, A, you just take the guy you want to take. Don't worry about the mocks. But B, even in the context of the mocks and the intel, like Edey was firmly in the lottery mix. And once you're at 9 in a draft that, like, people didn't think was very good, why is anybody a stretch at that point, you know?
I mean, that does make sense.
Yeah. But I was always, and Jeffrey can attest, because we talked about it all during the college season, I was always higher on Edey. I never understood sort of the dismissiveness around Edey when people would compare him to Boban or whatever, or Taco Fall. He was not a novelty act. He was good, like really good. Now, he's good in a way that's sort of singular. There's no one else quite like him, and that's a reason to wonder. And I think there are very open questions about his foot speed on defense and the degree that can get attacked in the NBA. And so I think those are very legitimate questions. But, like, this dude is going to rebound and score and set picks in the NBA. He just is. Like, I don't understand how anyone could have watched him in college basketball last season and not thought that those things at a minimum are going to translate in a major way to the NBA. So I liked the pick. I mean, based on where my quote-unquote draft board, whoever cares about that, was at the time of the draft, like, I thought Edey was the best player for the Grizzlies still on the board. And I would have taken Klingon if Klingon had still been there, but to me, the gap between those two was the more I watched, the more narrow it got. And so I liked the Edey pick. I liked it when it happened. I liked him, you know, leading up to the draft.
If it does feel like that the more people started paying attention to it, that the criticism became less and less of him as an NBA player and him working with the Grizzlies and that. If I mean, even the fact that he played 4 years as a 7'4" guy, you're like, if he was any good, you're assuming he would come out early, and then he's going to be too slow, and then you just start looking at what the Grizzlies have done, that you had Steven Adams, who was massive, and they were at their best when he was playing when Adams was playing, and you're like, well, this kind of like they kind of go together.
I think he got better, and it's not just you get better over 4 years, because of course you do. I think he got better from his junior to his senior year, even though he was already college player of the year his junior year. I was actually in the building when they lost the NCAA tournament first round, 116 against Fairleigh Dickinson.
Oh, gosh.
That was the game before Memphis.
Yeah.
So I was there as part of a University of Memphis thing, and I was sitting like second row right behind the Fairleigh Dickinson bench watching those guys go nuts. And so I watched that team lose that 116 game, and I saw how Edey sort of struggled a little bit. To me, his quickness with his movement, he just got a lot better junior to senior year. I think he really took a step forward in terms of his reaction, in terms of his reaction speed and everything else. And so, you know, some guys just develop at different rates than others. He was sort of late to the game anyway. He's not someone who played, you know, high-level basketball until pretty late as a teenager. And so you can point to trends in terms of what usually happens with types of players, but ultimately every player is an individual person. And so I feel great about Edey for the Grizzlies.
I think also a lot of people reassessed when he went head-to-head with Klingon. And Klingon played – I thought Klingon played him really tough.
I do, too.
And he couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Edey still did whatever he wanted.
You look at the box score, you think that he just likes to devour Klingon. In a way, he did. But when you watch that game, like, Klingon forced him to
so many tough shots.
Yes.
God. And I think that's what changed a lot of people's opinions, because, like, oh, people realize what you and I were talking about this whole season. Like, oh, he's really skilled.
Yeah. He was hitting, like, you know, 6-foot jump hooks over, like, the outstretched defense of a 7-2 guy in that national title game. It wasn't all, like, easy layups and dunks, you know?
I forgot where I read this. I think – I feel like I read it somewhere last night. But do you – like, it was comparing basically the Grizzlies with Edey to when Shaq signed with the Suns. And that there was a lot of criticism from Suns fans because they were in the middle of the 7 seconds or less thing. And
right.
Mike D'Antoni changed that slogan to 7 seconds or Shaq. And do you think the Grizzlies, like, that might be a strategy that the strategy the Grizzlies might use of, like, we're moving fast, and if we don't move fast, then we have this dude we can actually feed the ball to and get us a bucket, maybe. I mean, do you think there's a time they use him as what he did, kind of in the similar role he did with Purdue, where it's back to the basket, like, you know, we have this option. Are we going? Do they ever use that?
Well, it's a good question. My expectation was and remains that his game will change a lot in the NBA. It will become less post-oriented and more pick-and-roll oriented. I think that's certainly going to be the case. You would hope that over time he would develop a little bit of a wide-open trailing the break three-point shot a la Brooke Lopez a little bit. So that when you're the last guy down the floor, the ball kicks out to you, you can take the wide-open shot. I'm not saying he should take any other shots, but the wide open ones.
Right.
But I think when you watch him in summer league, it sort of became clear that he's just so good in the post that that has to be part of the recipe. Like his first summer league game, when he finally got post touches, he was cooking Walker Kessler, who's a 3-year, elite rim protector, 3rd-year NBA center. So I think it has to be part of the mix. It'll be interesting to see how they sort of mix up lineups over the course of the game. Because one of the things they did with Steven Adams was they sort of tied him to John Morant. Well, Steven Adams wasn't the guy you wanted to throw the ball into the post to. And so I wonder if it'll make some sense to sort of separate Morant and Edie a little bit more than they separated Morant and Adams. And if you have Edie out there in more bench-oriented lineups where you need someone like Ja's not out there to create offense, you do need to get a bucket. Maybe Edie in the low post, especially in some of those kind of lineups, is a good way to go to let's score a few points with the these bench guys out there.
I guess that does make sense. I mean, there is always the thing of when your starters go out and you're in your second unit, who can get you a bucket? And some guys just can't create off the dribble. But if you have a guy that is excellent at, posting up 6 feet from the basket and can score around the rim, I guess that is a great option to have when all your dudes are taking a break, all your starters are taking a break.
But I don't think you're going to see a heavy diet of Zach Edey post-ups when Morant, Desmond Bane, and Jared Jackson Jr. are out there.
I think that's probably a good point. All right, Chris, this is a short segment today because we have a packed hour. We're doing Kevin Cerrito and we have Thomas Ian Nicholas on the show today. And so we're gonna give you a short little hit today, and you can get about with your day and do whatever you want to do today.
All right, man. Good talk to you.
Yeah, good talking to you, too. That's Chris Harrison. On the show next, we're going to play Writer Than Right Trivia.
Which means we need a caller, so that will be area code 901-445-0929. We're playing for two tickets to go see Smashing Pumpkins. Or is it The Smashing Pumpkins?
I think it's just Smashing Pumpkins. Is it The Smashing Pumpkins?
Now you got me. Every band in the 90s was The something.
I mean, I guess it's a good point.
Yeah. But they're going to be at Bank Plus
the
on
Pearl
September
Jam.
The 10th. The Pearl Jam. That's a good point. Well, that was Andrew Mann. That's how we got something corporate. I just name it something corporate, bro. I'm sick of the bands.
So we need a caller.
We do.
We need caller two to play Writer Than Right Trivia. You can win two Smashing Pumpkins tickets.
Indeed.
At Bank Plus Amphitheater. When's that show? Again?
September the 10th.
September the 10th.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.